Good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a good morning, moms. I'm hoping you're watching this online, but if you're watching it later because your kids let you sleep, good for you. I completely understand that and hope that you're able to do that as well. We do want to say Happy Mother's Day to everybody, and I know this isn't the most ideal Mother's Day. I mean, many of us are not being able to do exactly what we wanted to do on our Mom's Day, or maybe some of you are. You're just hanging out in bed. But I know the people who are watching this, and I know the people who are listening to this, and if there's one thing I know everybody in this church that our moms taught us, it was to be creative. You're getting that opportunity now to be creative. So hopefully you will find a way to make this memorable for all of your moms. Because I know definitely this will be a Mother's Day to remember. I do want to take the chance, since I can, and I'm pretty sure she's watching, to tell my mom a happy Mother's Day, as she's at home in San Angelo with my dad. So happy Mother's Day, Mom. We love you. We'll call you today, I promise. So we will do that. I'm also, in the midst of all this, in the midst of Mother's Day and the joy there's also this kind of heaviness that has set in, and I don't know if you've seen the news in the last few days, but there is one mom nationally who will not have the best Mother's Day, whose son's birthday was on the 8th of May, and if you've been watching the news, I speak of the Ahmaud Arbery family in Brunswick, Georgia, and if you know anything about that, Ahmaud Arbery was a black man who was just running. He was just jogging in the neighborhood when he was assaulted by two men and shot point blank and murdered, which was hid for 2 months by the Brunswick government. And I'm reminded of this, of a mom who had to go in pain for 2 months before ever getting justice. And we're not sure what justice will look like. But if you haven't seen that, I would tell you, don't watch the video, but read the story. And know that this is a mom who is in pain. And this is a reminder that we still struggle in this day. We still struggle in our world with hate and violence, people who don't like certain color of skin. And there are moms who have to deal with that on an everyday basis. So while I say Happy Mother's Day, let's also remember there is struggle today. There's heartache today. And we will be in prayer for the Arbery family, and for that entire situation as well as we go through this. So moms, we love you. We know that some are celebrating. There are some, much like this incident I talked about, where moms are struggling as well and hurting. And we want you to know we're here for you in all that. We're praying for you and we're thinking of you and we're mindful of you. But as a church, we want to stand against violence like that, and we want to hurt with moms like that, and we want to say that is wrong, and we want to say that we look forward to a better place in which there are no issues of skin color, when we can look at each other as children of God and notice who we are. So I would tell you to please remember the Arbery family in Brunswick, Georgia during this time as well. Let's say a prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this moment in time. Lord, we are mindful of the many things going on. We're mindful of today being Mother's Day. And Lord, we are thankful for our moms, for what they have taught us and what they have given us and what they have suffered through so that we could be here at this point. So Lord, we pray a blessing on them, Lord. And we pray a blessing on just the situation we talked about and the stuff going on in Georgia, Lord. And I pray that you be with the authorities who are taking care of this. I pray you be with the Arbery family in their suffering in this moment, Lord, and just the tension and divide that this has caused. And Lord, we are mindful that while we seek as your church to bring about a better world, that we seek as kingdom people to be people who are inclusive and unite, that there are still forces out there that want to divide. And so, Lord, I pray that as your people, we can be people of love, of reconciliation, and those who do call out when injustice happens. And so, Lord, we pray that in that moment, we pray for your justice to prevail. Lord, be with us as we look at your word. We pray for open hearts and open minds in this moment. We pray, Lord, that your spirit create in us something new. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. If you have a Bible, go ahead and stand with me. We'll be looking at Philippians 1:15-30. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Christ Jesus that has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in the manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign of them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggles you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. As we continue our series on this idea of unspeakable joy, if you remember last week, we looked at where our joy is rooted. Is our joy rooted in the situational things of life? Things like success and status, numbers, and just toys and stuff. The kind of joy which is fleeting. If it is rooted in situations, we find our joy is not wholesome. And in fact, it's not life-giving to us. Instead, what we read in Philippians from Paul is a different kind of joy. A joy not rooted in us or me trying to get my next fix in order to be happy. It is a joy rooted not in the constant movement of objects, but a joy rooted in the immovable one. A joy which makes us look beyond ourselves, again, because we see it's rooted in Jesus. It is beyond self-centered. This unspeakable joy is a way of being that says it is not about me. I'm not in this for just me. I'm not in this by myself. And because I know this, I can praise God that I'm not alone. Which leads us to this next aspect of joy, which I think is incredibly appropriate being on Mother's Day. Because you see, moms and surrogate moms and all the many women in our lives who have treated you as sons and daughters have taught us this. And I know you have that. You have your mom, but I know you have the numerous moms who have been throughout your life who have taught you so much. And this is why I think this is appropriate, because this kind of joy is able to be present even in suffering. And I brought this up last week with Paul being in prison. That this kind of joy, as we saw in the text today, has a way of seeing beyond its present moment, has a way of seeing beyond the immediate pain into something in the future. And when I think about moms, and I think about this kind of a joy rooted in something beyond the pain but into the future, I think about, as I said last week, and I'm reading this book, as you'll be able to tell with the quotes, from Archbishop Desmond Tutu, but this is what he says about joy in motherhood. And I loved what he said here. And for moms who've been pregnant and had babies, you probably completely get this. But this is what he says about motherhood and suffering and joy. And I love this quote. He says, think of a mother who is going to give birth. Almost all of us want to escape the pain. And mothers know that they are going to have to go through pain, the great pain of giving birth. But they accept it And even after the most painful labor, once the baby is out, you can't measure the joy. I like that. You can't measure the mother's joy. The life of the mother, or as I said it a minute ago, the life of the women in our life have been a perfect example of this kind of joy. A joy that goes through pain because it's rooted in a hope of something that is to come. It can go through the pain because it has this way of looking beyond into the future. This is the kind of joy that we see when we read Mary's song in Luke 1. In Luke 1, 46 through 55, do you remember this? As Mary's finding out what's about to happen to her, and she's with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's got her own little thing. Mary sings this song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he has promised our ancestors." Mary, the mother of Jesus, who would have to face some interesting times during this pregnancy. She would have to go through a near divorce of her husband. You know there's rumors behind her back of how this happened. And the reality of just being a pregnant teenager. The uncertainty of everything swirling around her, and this is the song that she sings. This is the song from her lips. Her soul is full of joy of what God is going to do. The suffering she can go through in the moment is kind of taken care of, or there is a balm of it, by the joy of what God is going to do in the future. It is a joy that is rooted in what God can do, a joy rooted in the promises of God. And how many times do we need to be remembering those these days? A joy is rooted that God will keep the promises that God said God made. This is the kind of joy that sees a future in which God's kingdom will come into fullness. It's a joy that can even be present in the midst of our suffering and pain. It's Romans 8. When all of creation cries out in suffering, look toward to in what? Look toward to hope of what will come. There can be a joy in the heart, even in the pain, because of what will come. It's a hope of what God says God will do is true. And I know that's hard for us to imagine. Just like I talked about at the first of this, it can be hard to imagine for many. When we are in pain, we are in pain. It's all that we can think about. Pain envelops us. It even transforms us. It becomes all we think about, and many times all we know. And I'm not going to minimize suffering, because I don't want to do that. Suffering is suffering. There is nothing easy about it, and no one wishes it to come on anybody. But how can Paul say at the end of verse 18, and did you catch what he said? How can he say, in the midst of all of this, yes, and I can continue to rejoice. Paul can still say, I continue to rejoice as he physically suffers in prison. And also, did you notice beginning in verse 15 to verse 17, he's also going through a kind of theological suffering as well. He speaks of this. He talks about there's these brothers and sisters who are, as he says, imitating me. But then he says there's these other people who are kind of speaking the gospel in not the best way possible, who are probably doing it for their own cause. This is difficult for Paul. We see this in 2 Corinthians when Paul, who, remember, this is the same guy in 2 Corinthians as he's writing in the last part of the chapters, who gets really mad and calls a group of people, 11 verse 5, super apostles. And by the way, he's being facetious here because he's upset of what they're doing. This is the guy that gets fired up. This is the guy who wrote Galatians because there was a false gospel being preached by them. Remember that? This is that guy. But yet, in this moment, in Philippians, when he is in jail in Ephesus, he can still find joy and say, even in their preaching, God will be shown. What's going on there that he can handle that inside of him and just still in his heart say, I can rejoice in this moment? There's something that Paul sees there in the end that says, in the end, God will have God's way. This will work. And here is Paul from prison who can say that in the end, Christ will be glorified. Now, notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say that enduring this hardship and suffering is easy. He doesn't say he looks forward to it. I mean, as I talked about mothers and being pregnant, no pregnant woman, I think, has ever thought this is a great time. No one has ever thought. I mean, I can go back to my wife and her two pregnancies. There was not a lot of, yay, this is awesome. This was more of her looking at me and going, why did you do this to me? This is what was happening here. But notice what Paul does say, and I like it summarized this way. Paul does say this, no matter what, I will rejoice, for my hope is in God. There is a seed inside of Paul's heart in which bursts forth, even in the midst of the suffering, that is a hope of who God is and what God will do. Joy, which is rooted in hope of what will be. It doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge the pain, but here's the problem. Sometimes we don't. As I talked about my wife, when Laurie was pregnant with Anna Lee, and this is, I can't believe I'm telling this story because I was a jerk in this, but when Laurie was pregnant with Anna Lee, we were at the hospital, and Laurie was having terrible labor pains in her back. It wasn't in her front, it was in her back. And so she was, she was on this like therapy workout ball, like bent over like this and just rocking back and forth. And she was being a trooper. Like she didn't want the anesthesia. She was gonna do this. And so she was having these terrible back pains and she was slumped over this therapy ball. And in the midst of the excitement, I was texting people. So there my wife was in pain and I was texting people telling us we were at the hospital, in which she finally looked at me and all she could say, get out, because she's in pain, and moms, you know this, she looked at me and said, really? That's it. And by the way, that's all she had to say because it got my attention of what I needed to do. And what I realized was what I wasn't doing is I was actually, in the midst of the excitement, ignoring the pain that she was actually going through. I was actually ignoring the suffering that she was going through because, first off, I was in my own little world, not worried about her, but I also didn't want to think about my wife being in pain, so I was doing other things. But what my wife needed, what Laurie needed at that moment, was for you to acknowledge the pain, to admit that it hurt, that joy would come. Anna Lee would be born like 7 hours later. Anna Lee would be born, but at that moment, I needed to be with her in the moment. I needed to acknowledge the pain she was going through. I needed to acknowledge the suffering that she was going through in the moment. She needed me to join with her, not look beyond the moment to the excitement of the birth, but be in the moment, because there's part of being in that moment that makes that joy even bigger when it happens. But she needed me there. She was excited, but she was hurting. She had hope that on the other end of the pain, there would be a joy without measure. There would be a joy, but it wasn't going to come without some pain. It wasn't going to come without some hurt. Joy was present. It was all around us, but it wasn't in its fullness yet. It hadn't bursted forth just yet. Paul speaks with the same kind of language. While in prison, the brothers and sisters of Philippi are the balm on his soul. In his moment in prison, they are with him. They are in the moment with him. There is joy in knowing they're in the moment with him. You notice at the end of chapter 1 when he says, I know that you're sharing in this same struggle with me. And he can link that to joy. There is a joy in knowing that others are in the moment with you, that your suffering is not just something you deal with alone, but it is also being acknowledged by others. And joy can be present in this moment in the work of the Spirit because the Spirit is connecting us. You know that no one walks alone.
Paul's anticipatory joy is that this will work out. And we notice that the text, as we read, he's struggling, but he keeps with this little hint. This will work out in the lives of the people, in his lives and in others. God will win. God will prevail. The salvation of God, which is redeeming each of us, bringing us into community with one another, and allowing us to share in all of these things together. As Paul experiences his suffering in prison, he also experiences a joy that knows that God is doing what God is doing so that his future can be shown. This kind of joy that's rooted in suffering, this kind of joy that is rooted in suffering that gives us a future way of looking at things, changes our outlook. It lets us be able to say that this suffering is just temporary and that God is doing something bigger. It's why Paul, in the Corinthian letters, when he talks about his suffering, can say, my suffering is light and momentary compared to the heavy weight of glory that is to come. Did you notice that? Suffering was light for Paul. What's heavy is the glory of to come. There's this joy that's rooted in hope of the future, of what God can do. He's anticipating the future joy of being with his brothers and sisters. That anticipatory joy of what God will be, of what God will do. This anticipation gives him strength to even rejoice in the moment. It's why in that moment with Laurie, she can struggle. And you know this, if you've been with your wife when she's pregnant, she can still look at you and smile. Because there's something rooted in that moment. Joy is starting to come forward in her. It still hurts, but you're able to take the next step. He says in verse 25 and 26, it's still hurting, but he says this, notice, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I'll continue with all of you for progress and joy and faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ will abound on account of me. Notice that. He's convinced of this. There's this promise of God that's inside of him that even in prison, I'm convinced that I will have the same joy, that this can come out. For Paul, joy comes through living and suffering. Through living life and understanding that you will experience suffering. However, we have a choice on how we experience the suffering. Do we experience it by ourselves, or are we willing to let others experience it with us? Because here's the thing. If we choose to link suffering with joy, if we have our joy that's rooted in hope, then we have a path and a friend along the way. We can see something that many others can't. We can see the end. We can see the good news of the end, that our suffering does not have to have the final word in our lives. And what we will see is that life has the final word. Life in Christ has the final word. Joy rooted in hope gives us the vision to see the light. Though faint, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. So choose a joy rooted in the vision of what will be. Choose a joy rooted in the vision of what is to come. A joy rooted in the this will work of Christ. This will be made new in Christ. And that through the suffering, that joy is waiting on the other end, and that life will still be worth living. And that's my hope for you today. Moms, I hope you have a wonderful afternoon. I hope you have a wonderful time with your family. And as you enjoy it together, this is one of those where we can just be with one another. And that's going to be, I think, a good Mother's Day for all of us. And I pray it is joyful. I pray for much laughter. I pray for good food and an enjoyable time. Love y'all. Talk to you soon.